joining us. He's the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants, Ron Woad, as well. How are you?
Well, Marty, I tell you, I aged about 2 years, and I got a lot more gray hair after these past two games with the Dodgers, but the end result was what we're looking for, and hey, let's do it again.
Yeah, boy, you know, just from your perspective on the bench and Boach and everybody else, guys hitting home runs late in the game, I think 8 of 24 have been hit in the 8th inning or later to tie or put a team ahead. You know, I'm thinking strategy. You know, you got to play little ball. You got to bunt somebody over. You got to do that. But you know something? You may be able to sit back and wait for somebody to knock it out.
Well, you know, they've done a good job of it, obviously. But, you know, we're really not laden with a lot of power on this club. And, you know, when you're managing the game and you're looking at the game, those are things you don't anticipate. You don't expect to happen. I mean, definitely, certainly when you're facing the other team's best pitchers, you know, late in the game, when you can hit the ball out, that's even, you know, that more impressive. So we've been able to do it. I don't think it'll continue because, you know, the pitching late in the game is very, very good. And we just don't have those types of hitters here at this ballpark. But we'll take them any way we can get to win.
Well, you know, I said this the other day and maybe to you when we were talking before the game the other night. You know, you do win two World Series. And, you know, this is new territory for everybody. Can players seem to play more confidently, you know, that they don't say, gee, we're down 4-1 or 4-2. Maybe the World Series wins put you in a different perspective.
I think there's a lot of truth to that, Marty. That's why when you're looking for players, you know, and you're looking for free agents and you evaluate a player on the other side, whether it's a trading deadline or what, you look at players that have won before. You know, that's important. You know they've been through it. They know what to expect. They've been through the wars. And it does come into play. I know just myself coaching, and when I played, when you have success, that breeds confidence. And even as a coach, it does. And knowing that we're doing the right things. And I know there's a huge carryover for these guys that have been to the World Series, some of them a couple of times, and if you're not confident knowing that you know what to do, you will never be. So there is a lot of truth to that, Marty.
Yeah, all right. Now, the other night, Boach gets thrown out of the game, you know, and here I'm watching the game. I said, all right, he's out. Ronnie is now running the game. Does Boach ever put the fake eyeglasses on and the mustache and try to get the Bobby Valentine thing? But my serious question to you is this. What goes through your mind that, as you could see Bochy heading out there? Now, the team's in a losing streak at this point, you know, so sometimes managers like to shake it up. Can you kind of see this coming when he's going to get tossed?
Well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of times you do. You know, sometimes you're wrong, but a lot of times you're right. And, you know, in this particular instance, you know, Bill Miller already blew a call earlier in the game, and this is the second time. And, you know, unfortunately, we've had a lot of missed calls by him over the years. So knowing where we were at, I expected that to happen. And I'll tell you another thing that's interesting to me. Of all the years that I've been here, whether it was Boach or Dusty Baker or Felipe Alou, I've seen to have more of an opportunity to have to take over a game in Colorado and in Arizona more than any other two ballparks in the league. And I think that has to do with the nature of those parks and the runs being scored and the up-and-down nature of the game. So that might have something to do with it as well.
So what goes through your mind? Already, you know, he's going out there. You know, you hear him talking, and it's trouble. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like Mark Gardner with Affeldt in Philly. You know, he's got to tell Affeldt, hey, settle down. You're going to get in the game. You got to start thinking right away, am I going to take over this game? What's the whole process? How do you do that?
Well, I, you know, you're exactly right. Look, bench coaching, you don't have the final say in everything. I'm there to help out Boach, and it's a little bit different when you're thrown into the seat where you're making every final decision. So, you know, for me, it's been, 15 years since I managed in the minor leagues, and I don't get an opportunity to manage too much. So just the mechanics of the game, you start to be concerned with. The signs, you know, giving the catcher the signs, the plant that he has the signs. So we just touch base and make sure we're on the same page with all of that. And then you just delve into the managing of the game. But you do have to lock in and concentrate at the task at hand. There's no question.
All right. Now, do you have to develop a walk to the mound? I mean, you know, you got to sort of amble out there, you know, sort of like Boach or Casey Stengel. You can't go too quickly. You know, there's a way you got to do it. So are you working on that?
Well, you know what? I haven't gone out to the mound enough to really give that any practice, and I hope I don't have to do that. That's not a good thing when the manager has to go out there. So I'm going to stay away from that and just take my normal walk. Hopefully I don't limp when I go out there.
Yeah, you got to look around at the stands and wave your arms, and, you know, you got to get a distinctive move at least when you go out there. Bobby Cox,
well,
remember how Bobby Cox kind of went side to side and all that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's in my repertoire. Not bench coach. And maybe if I have a chance to manage, then that'll develop. But I don't see it happening now.
All right. Now, last thought on this thing. I was just thinking about it the other day, and Boach is in his office, I guess. Do you relay things back and forth, or do you actually handle the whole thing?
Well, it's happened different ways. Look, there's been a lot of games that he's been thrown out. There has been times where he would send something to the bench. I know Rags has gone in to speak to him about certain things. You know, personally, I just manage the game. I discuss the pitching with Rags, and we make the decision from there. It's very difficult to manage the game and have your own thoughts and be thinking batters ahead and what you want to do innings ahead, and then all of a sudden you get asked to do something different than what your plan was. So it really makes it difficult a lot of times when you do get information sent in, because it throws off your mindset. So it's happened both ways, but the majority of the time I'm running the game.
Well, it turned out well. Was that the Belt homer, that game? I can't remember which one that was.
No, that was the day before. Belt got the base hit up the middle. They walked a couple.
Oh, right. Oh, the lefties, right?
Yes, they left the reliever in there, the right-hander. His name eluded
Ziegler. They left Ziegler in.
Ziegler.
How about that?
Yeah, that was surprising. I mean, he has lefties down there in the pen, and you know, I know we've hit the lefties pretty good. Sip was one of them. We've had some success with him, but Ziegler, you know, his whole career pretty much has been a guy that gets right-handers out and struggles with left-handers. So we were surprised when he left them in, and thank goodness Brandon Belt put a good swing on a 3-1 pitch.
Yeah, oh, that was a good end of the game. Yeah, I like that a lot. All right, now back to baseball here, the nuts and bolts of what's going on. Arias, I'm watching him play well, and his hands, when he crosses that bag on the double play, he may be the quickest guy in the field.
You know, he's done a nice job. It's not easy to spot play, going for defense. You know, you take for granted that he's going to make every play and make the tough play. When you go in to play one inning in a close game, that's a difficult chore. But every time he goes in there, he does the job for us. Look, he'll have a moment just like anybody would. But he's a good, solid utility player. He can play all the positions. He does a nice job when he's in there, and has performed well.
Yeah, I like the way he does the double play. I mean, I think in some ways he's quicker than Crawford. Bobby Evans was on with us yesterday. I said I think he comes across the bag and the ball transfer quicker, but Bobby said, well, Crawford's got more range. But for me, the double play is ballet, and I like to watch him turn it.
Well, they both do a very good job. There's no question. I mean, one of Cross' strength is quick glove-to-hand transfer. You know, I mean, and then you talk about the ballet part of it. The double play we turned yesterday, that was impressive. You don't see that play turn very often when Belt threw to second, and Cross made it look so easy returning the throw back to first, and usually you just get the lead runner, and Cross did a nice job there, just what you're talking about, making it look easy to turn the double play.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Belt. JT Snow's going to be on the patio with us in a little while. I'm starting to get this feeling with Belt that, like I did with JT, that every night he does something defensively. And the great first baseman, Keith Hernandez, Mattingly, going back to Ferris Fane, people like that, they would charge that bunt and they would get the lead runner more times than not. And I'm seeing it with Belt now very confidently.
Yeah, you know, that's something he's worked hard at. You know, there's more to playing the position than just catching the ball or picking the bad throw. One thing we talk about a lot is playing bunts, and he's taken to it like a duck to water. You know, he's got a bazooka for an arm, and he's a fairly quick runner, so he has the ability to crash in there, to get in there and make those plays, whether it's throwing a third or throwing a second. He works hard at it. You know, two guys that come to mind in this league are Todd Helton, would always cheat and be down your throat. He would do that. And the other guy, Adrian Gonzalez for the Dodgers when he was in San Diego. And he does some unique things. He'll take a routine ground ball at times and throw to third when the runner's not expecting it to get the lead runner, or throw the ball home when he's playing back. So Belt has that ability. He's trying to be better at all the things that make you a great player at first base, and he has the ability to do so.
Well, what I'm thinking about is JT sits down here. We're talking to Ron Wotus about playing first base. But there you go. You know, JT and Ronnie, JT's here. The first baseman actually can make a defensive impact on the game. And I don't mean just picking throws, as you did, as Ron was just talking about, going to different bases and taking away things.
Absolutely. I think it's a position that if you have someone over there that's really good, then it stands out. Yeah. If you have somebody that's okay, it just doesn't kind of blends in. But yeah, I'm sure I got here a little late, but I'm sure Woe was saying bunt plays, cutting the guy down at third. Even a man on first, if you crash in early and you can get that guy at second, turn a double play, get that lead guy. So it's huge. Cutoffs, cutting the ball off and getting the lead runner, or letting the ball go through to get the guy at home, all those things. And the funny thing is, when you put a guy over there, the Giants have tried that in the past. Ortmeier was a guy back then we worked real hard with, and a couple other guys, and they all said the same thing when they got over there, was how much is going on that they never realized. So I think it's the hardest position on the field myself. So
what do you think about that, Will?
Yeah, no, we, me and JT. Hey, JT, how you doing?
Good.
We've talked about it at length many, many times, and, you know, even when we were trying these other guys like Ortmeier and different guys, and JT would always say, you know, there's a lot more going on over there than people realize, and obviously he knows, and he was one of the best over there at doing it. I mean, he made it look so easy that, you know, when you think that anybody can play the position, but it's just not catching the ball, as we were talking about, you know, catching the throws and making the play. It's all those other things that come into play. And, you know, JT's, if anybody knows first base, it's JT, and he's exactly right. And Brandon's working hard at all those things. You know, we didn't mention the cutoff and relay part of it, when to cut the ball, when to get the batter runner, opposed to letting the ball go to home. That's usually a big decision and a big play in a ball game. So, you know, JT here, he works with Brandon. Brandon, you know, he's like a sponge. He listens to everything, and he's applying some of the information.
Well, what makes, and JT, you jump in too, what makes this Dodger-Giant rivalry so intense? And you're on the field. You get to see it. JT, you grew up with it. I grew up with it in Brooklyn. Well, what is it? Put it into words. What makes Giant-Dodger games so unexpected? I always say expect the unexpected in these kind of games.
Well, JT, you want to answer that first? I mean, you played, and now on the coaching side, you've been on both sides of it. And I know as a player, you know, it was a few years back, it might be a little different then than it is today. I'm not sure.
Well, I think it's neat when a team has a specific rival, right? There's one team. I was drafted by the Yankees out of college, came up through their minor league system, and we always played a Red Sox minor league team, was always in our league, the New York Penn League, I was in the Eastern League, the Carolina League, the International League, and it goes all the way down there. So I had a chance to be part of the Yankee Red Sox, and then I came here to the Giants, and of course it's Dodgers Giants. But I think fans like it. I think players like it when there's one team that's your rival, you know. And it's in today's day and age, it's hard to get that rival going with one team. But this goes back so far, and I grew up in Southern California and then played up here, and so I've been on both sides. And you know, I was amazed that when I came up to San Francisco, how much more important it is to the people up here to beat the Dodgers than when I was growing up. The Dodgers were always good, right? Those teams in the 70s and Dusty and Garvey, and I could name those whole teams, and they always beat up on the Giants pretty good. And so down there, it wasn't that big of a deal. It's like, oh, we're playing the Giants, we're going to whip up on them. And then when I got up here, it changed around the late 90s, early 2000s, and I was impressed with the energy, even back in the stick. I mean, those are great games, and Woe will tell you that. There's nothing like Dodgers-Giants in Candlestick with those crowds. So
what is it, Woe? Is it the crowd that gets you going? I mean, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think two things that JT touched on is it's the same way when I was managing in the minor leagues. We played the Dodgers at every level, A-ball, AA, and AAA. So, you know, I think some of the players get it from being in the minor leagues and they get to the major leagues. I think once you're here, obviously, I think it's the media and the fans. I mean, L.A. is right down the road. It's been a part of Giant baseball for as long as I've known. You know, you beat L.A. So I think that never dies. And, you know, I think it probably started back when the Dodgers were good, you know, that they were good teams and you wanted to beat the Dodgers. And I think today, you know, with players changing teams a lot more often than they did in the past, you know, for some players, maybe it's not that important until they show up here in a Giant uniform and they see how passionate and rabid the fans are, and they see just how important it is to beat the Dodgers, because usually, if you want to win a division, you have to beat L.A.
Yeah, well, you put it very well. You know, the one thing I just want to say, and I said it last night, 6-1, then they score 7, you guys come back, and to me, it was just another Giant Dodger game. This is the way these games are played. It's never over with these teams.
No.
It's never over.
It's been wild. And, you know, you posed an interesting question last night. I was driving home, and I got to listen to your show to get caught up on everything. So
thank you.
I'm listening. The question that you posed, what game do you enjoy more, the, you know, the 2-1 pitching duel or the 10-9 game? And, you know, they're both were fantastic games. And, you know, certainly as a coach, I know I take that 2-1 game any day over the 10-9 game. There's too much up and down there for me.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, well, thanks for being with us. I know you got to get to work. And, next week, we're back in the bunker, you and me, at 9 o'clock. We got the Braves next week.
Okay, I'll look forward to that, Marty.
All right.
We'll see you in a bit.
All right, I'll see you out
Thanks
there.
For being on. Boy, always a pleasure.
That's good.
Yeah, he's the best.
Very entertaining.
He's the best. He is the best. All right.